Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. News.
Prague's leadership looks set to cancel a sister city agreement with Beijing over the One China clause. The Czech government is set to declare a day of mourning for singer Carl Gott, and the U.S. hockey teams, the Blackhawks and Flyers, face off in Prague for the NHL season opener. The Prague municipal government is set to cancel a sister city agreement with Beijing, Mayor Zdeněk Hřib said on Friday. The move stems from China's refusal to negotiate, deleting a clause saying that the Czech capital recognizes the One China policy, negating sovereignty claims by Taiwan and Tibet. The sister city agreement was approved in February 2016. Since taking office a year ago, Mayor Hřib has worked to delete the One China clause. In response, Beijing has cancelled scheduled tours by Czech musical ensembles. The Czech government will declare next Saturday, when the funeral of pop singer Carl Gott takes place, an official day of mourning. Mr. Gott sold tens of millions of albums in a career spanning over six decades. He died of acute leukemia on Tuesday at the age of 80. He is to be buried with state honors following a memorial service at Prague's St. Vitus Cathedral. The public will be able to pay their respects to him next Friday at Prague's Zsófin Palace. Prague is placed 19th in a new world ranking of over 100 smart cities. The first edition of the IMD Smart City Index assesses a city's efforts and successes in embracing smart technologies that improve residents' lives. The index was put together by the IMD Business School in Switzerland and the Singapore University of Technology and Design. The Czech Supreme Court has dismissed an appeal by Italian developer Grandi Stazioni over the transfer of management of the iconic Fanta building at Prague's main railway station. In October 2016, Grandi Stazioni lost its 30-year lease of the Art Nouveau station after repeatedly failing to meet reconstruction deadlines, and the State Railway Infrastructure Administration took over. The struggling Czech post office will get a 3.3 billion crown payment from the state next year for so-called universal services from previous years, this subject to approval of the European Commission. Last year, Czech Post recorded a 1 billion crown loss. As part of a restructuring, it may have to eliminate some 7,000 positions to return to black. The EU has twice approved billions of crowns in state support. Czech Post had a monopoly on the delivery of direct mail weighing less than 50 grams until the start of 2013. The sixth edition of the Central European Film Festival, called Three Kino, will feature some 60 films under the theme Islands of Freedom. Films will screen from the 10th to 15th of October in the Prague cinemas Lucerna, Svetozor, Atlas, and Evald, and they will include The Painted Bird by Czech director Václav Marhol, which screened in competition in Venice. The National Hockey League's regular season begins in Prague on Friday when the Philadelphia Flyers take on the Chicago Blackhawks at the O2 Arena. Several Czechs will take to the ice. Playing for the Flyers is right winger Jakub Voracek. Playing for the Blackhawks are forward David Kampf and center Dominik Kubalik, who is making his NHL debut. This is the third straight year that the NHL returns to Europe as part of its efforts to grow the local fan base in hockey-mad countries like the Czech Republic. And finally, the weather. Rain is in the forecast for Saturday morning, with sleet or light snowfall likely in the northern half of the country. Average daytime highs should range between 8 to 12 degrees Celsius. Sunday should be partly cloudy and a bit warmer. I'm Brian Kennedy, and that's the news for now.
Hi there, listeners. This is Radio Prague International with me, Ian Willoughby. Today, criminals in the Czech Republic reoffend at an unusually high rate. Now NGOs are teaming up to find solutions. Prague is among the top 20 smart cities in the world. And later, the Prague Museum that's bringing to life some of the most devastating fires to have ever hit the city. All that's coming up in today's programme. It's Statistics show that incarceration and reoffending rates in the Czech Republic are among the highest in Europe. To combat this phenomenon, 10 organisations that focus on helping prisoners reintegrate into society have decided to form a new association. They hope the alliance will bring about more flexibility, as well as giving them greater influence when they lobby for change with the government. Tom McEncrow reports.
A recent analysis conducted by the Evropa v Datech data journalism project showed that the Czech Republic has the second highest ratio of prisoners per population in Europe, preceded only by Lithuania. This is the consequence of a legal system that cracks down particularly hard on failed businesses and those in debt, says Petr Schneiderfler, the chairman of the group Lighthouse. His is one of 10 organisations that have decided to join together in forming a new association of NGOs trying to erase the transition of former convicts from prison back into normal life.
The idea is that each member will contribute to our common plan through their area of specialization. Specifically, we want to focus on lowering recidivism through educating prisoners and improving their situation when they are released, because they often encounter phenomena such as debt, unemployment, and health problems.
With 2/3 of former convicts ending up in jail, reoffending rates are higher in the Czech Republic than in other developed states in Europe, where the average is between 40-50%, according to Czech television. Mr. Schneiderfler says the authorities are more likely to listen to NGOs if they speak with one voice.
Being more able to apply our thoughts and experiences into future legal and structural reforms is one of the main goals of our association. It is something that we had discussed for a long time. We hope that the ministries and general administration will use our experience in order to increase effectiveness.
One project which has shown that cooperation with such organisations can be a success is the Open Prison Project, started by the Ministry of Justice in 2017, where groups such as Lighthouse were invited to participate. The programme revolved around setting up a prison facility that resembles a self-sustainable village, with educators and psychologists replacing guards and prisoners being made responsible for meeting their daily tasks. Statistics released in August showed that only 3 of the 92 prisoners who have been incarcerated at the facility have since committed a crime, and the state is considering building more of these facilities if the concept continues to be effective. There is also another factor that Mr. Schneiderfler admits has recently been having a positive impact on reoffending rates: the invisible hand of the market.
Demand for employment is so high nowadays that having a criminal record becomes much less of a hurdle. A lot of companies contact organizations such as ours looking for employees, and it can be said that many former convicts find interesting and prospective careers after serving their time.
However, the expert says that the hiring of ex-convicts is only the result of a short-term economic trend, arguing that more structural reforms are indeed needed.
That report is by Tom McEncrow. Prague finished 19th among 102 cities around the world in the first edition of a Smart City Index. It was put together by Switzerland's IMD Competitiveness Centre and the Singapore University of Technology and Design. The index assesses the city's efforts in embracing smart technologies to improve citizens' lives. Prague finished ahead of London in the survey, in which Singapore ranked first. Ruth Frankova asked Krzysztof Krulisch from Consumer Forum, which is the project's partner here in the Czech Republic, to outline more details.
The index is based on two pillars. One pillar reflects structures and the other technologies. In both of those pillars, the respondents, it was about 120 people in every city around the world which were included in the index, provided their responses on such areas as health and safety, mobility, activities available in the city, opportunities and governance. And in both of those two pillars, it means that in the pillar of structures, for instance, the mobility concern, the issue of traffic congestion and how it is solved, or the issue of public transportation. While in the pillar of technologies, mobility included such areas as car sharing applications and how they reduce congestion, whether it's possible online scheduling of tickets in transport. All of those areas were covered in both of those two pillars, but the respective questions were focused on whether it was structure-oriented question or the technology one.
Prague finished 19th out of the 102 cities included in the survey. Is it a good result?
In my view, it's a perfect result. It's far better than the competitiveness of the whole country, of the Czech Republic. The Czech Republic this year stayed at the place 33 in the competitiveness ranking. If you are a foreign investor or if you are a worker, for instance, a digital company, you would be much more attracted to move to Prague and connect your career with Prague than with the whole country.
In which areas did the Czech capital score well?
Prague was scoring very well in the era of opportunities, the job and the employment and the possibility of education. As far as mobility concerned, there was an above average rating for the public transportation. And of course, Prague ranked quite high as far as public safety is concerned. In the era of activities, the cultural activities were the top among the cities which were included in the index. It includes availability of shows, bars, museums, and whether they are satisfactory or not.
Where do you actually see space for improvement?
Definitely the traffic congestion was considered as below average in comparison to other big cities. The issue of air pollution and corruption, together with affordable housing, those were primarily the issues which the respondents considered as areas where improvement could be achieved.
Krzysztof Krulisz from Consumer Forum, who was speaking to Ruth Frankova. Now, Prague, like many major cities, has suffered some huge fires in its history. And those blazes are the focus of a special museum in Prague, from where Vincent Farnsworth reports.
The popularity of disaster movies shows how people are fascinated by catastrophes, natural and otherwise. Now there's a permanent exhibition by the City of Prague Museum called Prague on Fire, which gives visitors a multimedia experience of the history of the city's devastating fires. It's located in a 17th century water tower, officially called the New Mill Water Tower, though of course it's not new anymore. I was given a tour of Prague on Fire by Tomasz Dvorak of the City of Prague Museum, who was instrumental in the creation of the exhibition.
It took about 2 years of preparing and we have a discussion, but we were a bit short of time, as usual.
Funded by a grant from Norway, Dvorak worked with a team of 17 artists for 2 years to create the multimedia displays. Open since 2017, it's the newest museum show of its type in Prague. The Prague on Fire Museum is not only about all the times that fire has destroyed parts of Prague. Each floor has a unique take on the subject of Prague fires, including installations about firefighting and the role that water towers played, the social and political aspect of Prague firestorms in the past, as well as purely artistic and immersive installations using audio as well as video, which is projected onto the entire inside of some of the rooms.
And we collaborate very deep and very long with an artistic team, so it's sometimes it's like more artistic show.
To experience the exhibition, you walk up winding stairs to each level of the 6 floors that make up the museum. It's a bit of a hike and not wheelchair accessible. According to Dvorak, the top floor gets the most attention, so we'll start there. In the middle of the room is a long, continuous screen with an animation and timeline showing the area of Prague from prehistoric times to the present. As a little fire icon travels along the bottom of the screen, the scene changes and grows, showing fires breaking out in various parts of Prague over the years, and listing the place and date of each conflagration. It's a great way to learn about Prague's history in general, as well as the history of major fires. The top floor also highlights what Dvořák says is the double benefit of the exhibition, which is that in addition to the exhibits, you get to experience the old stone water tower. The top floor has a fantastic and unique view of Prague, which was likely one of the first royal observation platforms.
And you can just have an experience like to be a Renaissance party, because we have an idea that was the oldest observation power and observation and the oldest special place for parties from the town nobility. So I think it could be very interesting to feel like people in the middle of 17th century.
In front of the windows in all four directions, there are also virtual reality binoculars and headphones. When you put them on, you see the same view as the one out the window, but with an animated, often science fiction-based reimagining of the view. In one, a giant fire robot rises up and causes havoc in the futuristic Praguescape. Going down the stairs to level 5, we have an exhibit devoted to the historic burning down of the National Theater in 1881. While music plays, you are surrounded by projections and sounds that make you feel like you are inside the theater as it burns down. It's pretty dramatic. Level 4 has a room that has a bright, full-walled screen of animated fire scenes, while all the other walls and the ceiling are mirrors. So you get that infinity aspect from all the reflections around you as you listen to some more history of Prague fires and how they were sometimes blamed on scapegoats. This part also includes projections of old drawings and notices about fires from the past.
Town almost burnt to the ground during the fire of 1316. Prague, made of stone, Gothic Prague, was subsequently built. There were fires in the quarter of Malostrana, or Littleside in English too, but the one in 1541 was big beyond comparison. A large part of the area, from the castle all the way to the river, shone like a comet that could be seen from a distance of several kilometres. We have had Renaissance palaces since then. Fire does not only burn, it cleans and gives birth to new things. Without fire, Prague would not be Prague. I would like to see the French fire from 1689.
Level 3 is devoted to first-person accounts by firefighters, their families, and others. There are several screens with animated representations of the people talking, and each one has headphones so you can listen to their stories.
What's left of him? A couple of badges. They didn't even give me that uniform. They said it was partially burnt, and he had worn it for such a long time, never forgetting to polish his boots and helmet.
Bulb magnet, microphone, magnet, microphone. Damn. I keep forgetting. There was a time when you would grab a blowhorn, and what a commotion it was when it sounded, fire, fire! Today, it's all about automats and all those technical things, and it is expected of us to be able to control such apparatus. But passing on signals was always my strong point. For example, steam fire engine number 1!
And we try just to explain the creating of the firefighters corps and firefighters brigade in Prague in the middle of 19th century, and as well the creation of the volunteers firefighters and fire rules. It's a bit longer history, so we'd like to explain how it works and how the city was protected from the fire.
To hell with it. In the street that is today called Spalinger, or burnt down in English, near fewer than 148 houses burnt down in 1653.
Since the ground floor is a reception area where you buy your tickets, level 2 is the last of the exhibits. In this one, we get several depictions of the history of water towers, some technical details on how they worked throughout history, and the role they played in fighting fires.
Despite all the changes, it has for centuries stuck to its purpose, providing the new town with water and extinguishing fires. Novemlini, or the new mills in English, driven by a wheel in the raceway, stood next to the tower. The mechanism of the tower.
As one of the newest and most multimedia-oriented permanent exhibits in the city, with both artistic and historical features, the Prague on Fire exhibition in the new Mill Water Tower is well worth a visit. You could say it's hot.
And that report was by Vincent Farnsworth. I'm afraid it's all we have time for in today's program. Please send any comments you might have to english@radio.cz. And you'll also find us, of course, on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. But for now, from me, Ian Willoughby, and everybody here at Rodeo Prague International, thanks for listening, folks, and speak to you soon.